This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Church Airdrie Audio Podcast. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Each week, we aim to have the recorded audio from our sermons uploaded to our podcast. Along with these sermons, we'll also from time to time have other audio content, things like a prophetic word from a service, a midweek teaching, or something else like an interview or some other content. If you're new to Cornerstone Church, you can connect with us on social media. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CSAirdrie on Twitter and at cornerstoneairdrie on Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or follow the prompts on our website. And you can visit us on our website to find out more about who we are and about all of the things that are happening at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to www.cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. God bless you as you listen. No matter what we do to be good, His grace is greater than mine. 2 Kings chapter 7 tells a fascinating story. That's not where we're going this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's where we'll actually be. But we're going to begin. Oh, Carmen, I should tell you, I forgot my clicker thing. So you're on for this morning. It should be really easy. I'll say the verses right as you need to put them up. But 2 Kings chapter 7 tells a fascinating story about four lepers who were sat at the gate of a city starving to death. The city was completely under siege. Things had gotten so bad inside the city that Scripture will say that mothers had started to eat their babies. That food and everything was so scarce that in a choice between starving to death or eating their children, people had started to eat their children. The reason why things were so bad is the city had been completely encircled by an opposing army, and the army had choked off everything. Nothing could get in and nothing could get out. They had dammed up the rivers. They had stopped everything that was trying to get in. They couldn't get water. They couldn't get food. And nobody could get out to help them because as soon as they got out, they would be killed. But there was this other thing that was happening at the same time. The prophet Elisha was there, and he began prophesying about how God's provision was going to come in this incredible way that the people won't be able to understand or comprehend. And he will even come to this place where he will tell the people inside the city that tomorrow God is going to provide. And he will specifically say that tomorrow food would be plentiful and affordable inside the city. That's the promise that God gives. And the promise that God gives is it's in this city where people are eating their children, that not just one day God's going to do this, but tomorrow God is going to do this. And the way that this all unfolds concerns these four lepers. These four people who were not invited into the city. They were not invited in. They had to sit outside and beg because they weren't welcome inside the city. And so they sat at a gate and they came to this crossroads in their life. They were literally starving to death. And they began to talk amongst themselves of, if we stay here, we're going to die. There's no two ways about it. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go throw ourselves at the mercy of our enemies, they'll probably kill us, but maybe they'll have mercy on us. If they kill us, we're in no worse of a place. We're going to die if we stay here. So if we die when we go there, it makes no difference. But there's a small chance that if we go to their camp, they'll show mercy on us and they'll give us something to eat and we won't die at least right away. So they go to this camp. And when they get to the enemy's camp, they discover that their camp is completely deserted. That God had performed this incredible miracle where the enemy heard in the night the sound of a mighty army racing towards them of chariots and horses, and the sound was so great and so loud that the opposing army fled in panic. And these four lepers stumble across this camp and discover everything they could imagine. There's food, there's water, there's gold, there's silver. And Scripture will say that these four lepers, they ate everything that they could eat. They stuffed themselves completely full of everything they could possibly cram into their body and all that they could drink. And then it said that they hauled away and hid several loads of gold and silver. But then their consciences begin to gnaw on them. And they said in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9, they said, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news, but we're keeping it silent." And so they went back to the city. And they went to the city and they told everyone, "There's food and there's water. There's plenty of it and it's available out here." The next day, just as Elisha had said that this would take place, the food was plentiful and affordable. These four lepers, these four people, they give us a picture eventually of what it looks like to live life together inside of a community. In the book of Zechariah, God makes a promise to a remnant of people returning to Jerusalem after captivity. And as they're returning to Jerusalem, to this utterly laid waste to city of just that's burnt rubble, and it's been that way for decades, that it's in a complete and utter disaster. In Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13, God will make this promise to his people. "I will save you that you may become a blessing." In Genesis chapter 12, after sin had entered into the world and we went through all of those things, in Genesis chapter 12, we really begin to see the picture of God's unfolding plan for redemption for all of humanity and for all people everywhere with God's call to Abram. And he begins with one couple. His plan for redemption for all of humanity begins with one couple, Abram and his wife. And God calls Abram to give up everything he has and follow God. But God makes Abram a promise. In Genesis chapter 12, it will say this, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God is going to bless all of humanity. God will tell Abram, "Through you I'm going to bless the entire earth." But God's going to do it through Abram and his family. Through this 75-year-old man, that's what Scripture will tell us how old Abram is at this moment, is he's 75 years old. And God will come to him at 75 and make a promise to him, "Through you, I'm going to bless the entire history of humanity." But the point of all these instances is that God used a small group of people, be it Abram or four lepers or the remnant rebuilding Jerusalem in Zechariah. God used these small groups of people to be blessings for huge groups of people. This is what we see over and over again in Scripture, that we see God blessing people so that they may be a blessing to others. That God doesn't just bless everyone. He blesses smaller groups that they can then take their blessing and use that to bless everyone. God didn't just bless the entire city with the resources that were available in the camp. God blessed these four lepers. And then their responsibility was to take their blessing and bless others. God blessed this remnant saying, "I'm going to save you." This small group of people rebuilding the city, God says, "I'm going to bless you," or "I'm going to save you that you might be a blessing." To bless all of humanity, God comes to a 75-year-old couple and says, "I'm going to bless you so that through you all of the families of the world would be blessed." He doesn't just bless everyone. He blesses Abram that through Abram, all of us till to this day would be able to receive the blessing. God would pour out his blessing on these people. and they would in turn take that blessing that they had been given and generously give it to others. And you see, this is a lesson for all of us, for each one of us. Each one of us needs to learn from these stories, to learn from the patterns that we see in Scripture of what God does or what God expects us to do, and then use it in our own lives. And the reason why specifically for us today, this is a lesson for each one of us as we talk about that these people were blessed to be a blessing, and that's why that's a lesson for all of us, is found in Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3, where Paul will say to the church in Ephesus, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." That's your testimony. You have already been given every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. You have been given everything. You're blessed. You are rich in Christ because you have been given every spiritual blessing. And the lesson for each of us today is that you've been blessed by God in some way. Each one of us has, whether it be talents or abilities, resources, knowledge, wisdom, faith, mercy, we've all been blessed by God in different ways. Paul will say, you've already been given every blessing. You can't look at your life, we can't look at our own lives and say, I'm not blessed. God hasn't blessed me. God has blessed you. We just need to discover what it is that you've been blessed by. And the reason why God blessed you is the same reason why God blessed these four lepers. It's the same reason why God blessed this remnant. It's the same reason why God blessed Abram. God didn't bless Abram so that Abram would be blessed. God didn't bless these four lepers that they would be provided for. God didn't bless this remnant that somehow they would just simply be blessed. He blessed them that they would become a blessing to others. And that's the same reason why you've been blessed. Is so that you can be a blessing to others through what you've been blessed with. He didn't bless you with every spiritual blessing just so that you could be blessed. He blessed you because he was thinking about other people. God blessed you with every spiritual blessing so that you could be a blessing. You have been blessed so that you can bless. Now, when the church talks about living generously, when the church talks about being a blessing, when the church talks about how you have been blessed and now you need to be a blessing, when the church talks about these things, it can sometimes be a tension. A tension because either the pastor is secretly talking about money or because the pastor is directly talking about money. That either way, he's not saying the word or he's really saying that word. That's where we end up with this tension as we talk about this, that when we talk about being a blessing and taking those blessings and giving them away generously, that when we mean blessing, we mean in your wallet. That's what we're getting at. And the truth is, when we talk about the things that God gives us that we would be able to bless others with, it would be intellectually and spiritually dishonest to somehow ignore or discount finances. Jesus talked a lot about finances and how there's a spiritual component to tithing and handling our money in a godly way. And so we can't just not talk about it. But it's also in no way limited to that either. You see, there's two ways that we look at blessing when it comes to God. One of them is to completely take money out of the conversation. And the other is to make money the entire conversation. That when we say God's going to bless you, what we really mean is God's going to give you money. But that's not what we see in Scripture, is that the blessing of God does not necessarily mean money. It doesn't not mean money, but it means so much more than that. That money may be a tool that God may use to bless you. And it may not be. But you can't look at somebody's bank statement and decide how blessed they are by God by what it says. Some people have been blessed with finances, and we are excited and celebrate that. Some people have been blessed with the life lessons to remain married for 50 years. And we need to celebrate and rejoice because that is a tremendous blessing. that not everyone gets to receive. And so we celebrate that blessing. We each have been blessed in different ways. Our finances, some of it? Sure. Are other things some of it? Of course. We all have been blessed. Scripture will say you have been given every spiritual blessing. And so we need to not just say, well, we're only talking about money or we're not talking about money. We are talking about every spiritual blessing that God could pour out on us. So what does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to take the blessings that we have been given? What does it mean for us to find every resource imaginable to us, like those four lepers? And what is it? How do we then take that and do what we're supposed to do with it? What does it mean to take the blessings that we have been given, whatever they may be, and use them not just so that we could be blessed, but to bless everyone around us with these blessings? And the best picture that I can give you for what God would have us do with the things that we've been given is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, right at the very end of the chapter. 1 Timothy is a letter that Paul writes to his protege, to his spiritual son, and Paul will call him that. He will say, to my spiritual son, Timothy. Paul planted a church in Ephesus, and Timothy has since taken over the pastoring of that church. And the city and the church are experiencing a bit of an economic upswing. Ephesus was a port city, and there began to be some money flowing into Ephesus. And people in the church began to discover what it was to live in an economy where there was seemed to be money growing everywhere. And so Paul writes to Timothy about how to address this. Now, here Paul is writing directly about money, but I don't want you to just hear money in all of this, because I think that the principles that Paul talks about here are not just simply if you've got money. I think they apply to us when it comes to all of the blessings that we have. The singing voice that God gave us, that's a blessing that God has given us. The knowledge that God has given us, the ability to do all of the things that you can do, that's what God has blessed you with. And the principles that Paul will share with Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 17, are applicable to all of us. And Paul will write this: as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Now, the first thing that I want to draw out for you is the first couple of words that may have caused all sorts of reactions in people. When Paul will say, as for the rich in this present age, you may have thought, well, that doesn't apply to me. I ain't rich. I don't have a lot of money. You may have thought to yourself, yeah, talk to those rich people. Talk to those people who are rich. Yeah, you need to tell them what to do. But the reality is we are all rich. You are rich. You are rich with every spiritual blessing under heaven. God tells us that through Jesus, we have been given every spiritual blessing. You are rich. Right on. And so, as we walk through this, there's not a person this doesn't apply to. You are not rich where you're not rich. So, it may not be your pocketbook, but you are rich. You have been given. So, it may not be giving away all of your money that makes a difference for you, because there may not be much to give. But God has given you things to bless others with. And so, when Paul will speak to us who are rich, and will say to us, Paul will charge Timothy to say to us, the word charge, when he will say, charge them not to be haughty. Charge means to tell them, to task them, to pastorally come to them and say, you need to do this. As your pastor, I need to tell you that you must do this. That to take the authority that had been given to Timothy as a pastor and push the congregation to do this. And he will say, don't be haughty about it. And what that means is to not put their trust in the things that they had been blessed by, to not put our hopes in the things that we have in abundance, to not put our identity in the things that we have been given. Paul will challenge, or will tell Timothy to challenge the people, don't become so comfortable in what you've been given that you take your eyes off the one who gave it to you. Don't look and allow the things that you've been given in your life to make up your identity, an identity that's separate from the one who gave you the gift. Don't allow the gifts that you've been given to make up who you are in spite of the one who gave them. Don't think of yourself as I am a blank before I am a child of God. That God gave me the things, God gave me these blessings, and so I can't put my trust in my blessing. I can't put my faith in who I have or the things that I've been given over the one who gave them to me. We always need to be grateful to God for the things that He's been given or that He's given us. Sometimes when we sit next to something for so long, we can forget that that very thing is only there because God gave it to us. We only have our talents because God has blessed us with them. We only have our things because God has blessed us with them. We only have the jobs we have because God has blessed us with them. We only have the things that make us us because God has blessed us with them. The word haughty here literally means to have an inflated self-worth. We need to always be sure that whatever we're doing, whatever we have, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever God has given us, that we don't fall into the trap of believing that somehow it's because of us. That somehow I've earned this, I've achieved this, I've done this in my own life. But to always remember that everything we have and everything we are belongs to God. And it's God who has given us this, not us that have earned this. Then in verse 18, Paul challenges the people to make sure they have their heart in the right place, and he will talk to them about what they need to be doing with what God has given them. Paul will call on those who have been blessed to do something with it. He will encourage them with what they've been given. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Paul will say, use what you have been given. Be rich in good work. Don't take what God has given you. Don't take the blessings that God has poured out on your life and just hold on to them. Don't take the blessings and the talents and the things that God has placed in you and not do anything with them for the body of Christ. But take the things that God has placed in you, take what God has given you, and use it for the furtherance of His kingdom. Sometimes when we have something we like, it gives us good feelings that make us feel good about ourselves. And the last thing that we want to do is to just give it all away, to have less of it, to take what we've been given and just give it away. But Scripture will say, use what you've been given. Take what the Lord has given you and give it away. Not just talking about money, but talents, finances, whatever it is that God has placed in your life, an ability to work with numbers. Great. Use that. Share it. Be generous with your ability to work with numbers. God has placed in you the ability to sing. Don't hide your ability to sing. Use what God has given you for the furtherance of His kingdom. God has made you a congenial, open, able to talk with anybody person. Great. Use that for God's kingdom. Don't just hold on to what God has given us. Use the things that God has for us. Do good works with what you've been given. Paul will write to Timothy and tells him to challenge his people to have the same heart and the same understanding of their blessings and of their gifts as God has. That their gifts are meant to be given, their provisions are meant to provide, and their blessings are meant to bless. Give to those who need it. Minister to those who need a touch from the Lord. When you see someone or something that can change someone's lot in life, do what you can with what you've been blessed with. Use what you've been given. And then Paul will say that the reason that we should be doing this, this storing up treasures for themselves for a good foundation, or so to say, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of which is truly life. When we use what God has given us, when we use what God has blessed us with, when we take our blessings and we bless other people with them, we may be depleting what we think is our blessings. But what Paul will say is when we use what God has given to us, we are laying down a foundation for the blessings that will really change all eternity. That we are laying down and we will be able to take hold of the things which truly bring us life. Which truly, we will be able to take hold of the giver, not just the gift. Jesus will talk about the same principle in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19. He will say, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what? So what does this mean? What does this have to do with our church family and our church culture? There are three lessons for us to take away from what we've talked about today. First, God has blessed you. Let that be settled in your heart this morning. God has blessed you. Every one of us, despite our life testimony, despite our life story, God has blessed you. And you haven't been blessed to keep or hoard your blessings. The lepers, the remnant, Abram, the people in Timothy's church, everything that had been given was given so that it could get be given. Everything that each one had been given had only been given so that they could then in turn give it. Their blessings were so that they could bless. Their provisions were so that they could provide. We cannot fall into the trap of thinking what we have been given is for us. That this is mine and I get to decide when and if and where I will do something with it. And if I decide, then I will, but only if I decide. But Timothy, or Paul will, through Timothy, tell us we need to be living and giving generously. Take what you have been given and recognize that God didn't give it to you just for you, but God gave it to you for everyone else. God gave it to you so that you can be a blessing to bless others. And when we submit ourselves and do what God would have us do, then we have been blessed to do, or we have been blessed so that we could be a blessing. Then we store up our treasures in heaven. You are rich. You have been blessed, and you haven't been blessed for your own benefit. You've been blessed so that you can be a blessing. You have been given every spiritual blessing to bless those around you. We as your family, as your church, we need you to be willing to use your blessings so that we would be blessed. Back in 2 Kings, when we began, the city, Elisha, needed these four lepers to use their blessing so that his prophecy could be fulfilled. God needed these four lepers, to give their blessing so that his promise to these people could be true. God made a promise through Elisha and said, "I'm going to take care of you." Elisha didn't just make that up, it came from God. But the only way that God's promise was going to be fulfilled would be if these four lepers said, "Yes, I will do what I need to do." And that's the same for all of us. That as Cornerstone Church Airdrie, we need you to do what, or to be a blessing to us, because that's where our blessing is going to come from. God doesn't provide for just a blanket. He provides for you and then tasks each one of us to then use our blessing. Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go. One heart with heaven, one mind connected, one body unified. Bind us together, now and forever, Jesus be glorified.
Nation ultimately. And our prayer is that God would be the head, he would be the center of his church again, that every wall would be torn down, there would be no more division, no more strife. Amen. Can we believe that tonight? Can we just lift our hands? Father, that's our cry, that you would make us one, that you would unify us through your spirit, that you'd be glorified again through your body.